May I give everybody a warm welcome to your gospel service this evening. And I know the Lord will richly bless you for coming along. Now, John must have known, I don't know if he did know, but that's one of my favourite hymns in the redemption songs. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Now, I wonder if we could just turn to God's Word. Now, I just want to read three verses. And they're found in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, I read that verse, and there's a little condition to it. It says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, the condition is, you've got to be saved, first of all, to get there to that place. Now, often hear people saying, "Oh, I think I'll go to heaven. I might go to heaven." Can I ask you, is heaven your home or future home? And can I say tonight that you can know for sure that it is? I can just point three questions or four. Nobody can know for sure that they're going to heaven, and obviously that's wrong. I guess we will have to wait till we get there to find out. And once again, that's the wrong attitude. If my good ways outweighs my bad, I'd probably go to heaven. And once again, that's presumptuous and it's wrong. And to make any presumption of what you've been taught all your life to be true, especially concerning the destination of your eternal soul, is foolishness. You see, your soul is the only possession you have that is eternal. It lives forever and forever. Your wife and your husband, your money, your cars, and all these things you have are only temporal in this life. And nobody can or ever has or ever will be able to possess all these things forever. Your soul, however, lives on forever in heaven, and could I say in hell. In Luke 16, there was a rich man and Lazarus, who was a beggar. And the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And that tells me, in hell, you could feel things. And you could see things. And that goes on for all eternity. So don't take chances. Just listen to what not what I've got to say, but what God has to say. What is important? God's clear promises. Why was the Bible written? And in John, 1 John, we read these words: "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have life eternal." And then in John 5 it says, and we should do this, search the scriptures, and it says, "They testify of me." And as I said, just don't take the speaker's word for anything. Just listen to what God has to say to you as you sit here or as you listen on the internet this evening. Paul reminds me of a young man called Timothy. And he said that from a child there was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God inspired the Bible. Other people wrote the words down. That every person on earth could read it. I mean, that's one thing about the Bible. We could read the Bible without fear, without somebody coming chapping on the door and putting us away to jail. And it's a good thing to have the Bible in our homes. What God requires and demands from us to have everlasting life, we can know for sure we're going to heaven. His demands are known, and if you do what God says or asks you and must do, you will be saved, and you will know it, because God will be inside you by His Spirit. And then I thought, you know, there's no word in the Bible, in Scotland says, "ouch," you know. And I just thought to me, and it said, you know, we're in real trouble, aren't we? Because God demands perfection, holiness, righteousness, which we are not. And that's a true fact in this world. On the other hand, what the Bible says to us, it says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And these are all found in Romans chapter 3. For it says, "We are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness and good works." And you think you're a person, and a good person at that, is nothing more than filthy rags. Like the rest of us, good works are commendable. They're very commendable, but they'll never get you to heaven. And then we have a penalty. And I don't want to be flippant about this, because it's a gospel meeting and it's God's word we're speaking about. But it, sin seems to be, could I say, a big joke. As we switch on our TVs and radios, most things are known these days. The way we live, disregarding God's commandments, and there's a lot of things that we do in society which God condemns in His Word, and I just don't want to go into that seeking. But when you think about it, the sin of this world caused God His only Son. And I think that's very serious. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all have sinned. And all will pay the penalty for sin. Beyond physical death, the death of this, could I say, my pure body anyway, the death of this body is nothing. But the death of your soul is something else. It says, the scriptures teaches that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's found in Ezekiel chapter, I think it's 18. God's word teaches that death is in two parts. There's physical death and there's eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Now, people don't like to hear that. They don't mind hell, but they don't want to hear about lake of fire. Because there they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth, as I've said already, will go on forevermore, from eternity to eternity to eternity. No rest. And from God, and this is the second death, it says in Revelation, whoever or whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name there this evening? I pray to God, if it's not, before you leave this building, that you'll take Christ as your Savior. And I've got a wee note down. Jesus paid the penalty. And I often wonder, when He looks down upon us, you know, why? Knowing that we are sinners and lost, hopeless, totally incapable of saving ourselves, and I mean that, we can't. Jesus died for us. Jesus paid the penalty in full. We say He was our substitute because it should have been us. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He being put to death in the flesh, but was quickened by the Spirit, because the one that we're trying to tell you about this evening, the one who died on Calvary, the one who's buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Could I say God loves you? And once again, could I say, if God never does another thing for you, as long as you live, he's already proved that he loves you by sending his son to die in your place and my place for your sins on the cross. John 3:16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, never perish, but have everlasting life. And could I say, that's love. No greater man has loved than this. And I could have said, with a heart full of love, maybe not so much love as my Saviour had for each one of us, but just a little love in my heart, I could have said, you must accept Christ as your Saviour if you're sure of that place in heaven. If you could earn your way to heaven, then why did Christ have to die? No, you can't earn your way. Good works. Consider these words. For by his grace you're saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest I can do more work than you could do, that any man should boast. And there was a question, I think it was in Acts, with the jailer. And he could say, I don't think he said it, I think he cried out, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Could I say with, once again, not deriding the Bible, quit working and start trusting. It's not what you can do that will save you, but what Christ has already done. You cry from the cross, it is finished. Done is the work that saves, the handwriting could say, once and forever done. Are you believing in Christ alone, or are you still trusting in your own merits? And could I ask, have you received Christ as your Saviour this evening? And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What a title. To be sons of God. God who made this universe and everything in it, the God who created you as a being, is willing to save your soul. I could have said, being saved is an event in your life. It's not a process. It's not something that happens each day as you go along. Although you get to know your Saviour better each day as you go along. It's a thing that happens at once. Once you confess your sins and believe in thy heart that Jesus is the Son of God and He died for you, thou shalt be saved. And there's another man that Jesus spoke to, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're going to heaven, it's through accepting Christ as your Saviour. In Matthew 7, I think it is, it teaches us there are many ways to hell, but there's only one way to heaven. I am the door, Jesus said. And Jesus is the only door. And as I said earlier on, Jesus could do no more to save your soul and to show His love for you and what He's already done. Now it's up to you as a person, individually, to accept Him as a Saviour or to reject Him. You don't have to say, I reject Him. All you have to do is, the condition you came in here this evening is to walk out the door the same way. When you stand before God at His judgment seat, He's not going to ask you, how good are you? Or how good have you been? He's going to ask you, what did you do with my Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you? I'm going to say, once again, don't gamble with your soul. Ask Christ into your heart this evening. Wherever you are, may it be here in this gospel hall or listening on the internet, God is there. God is everywhere. God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do it now. Do not wait, for tomorrow is uncertain. Could I say, claim God's promise, the assurance of salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, not my words, God's words, and believeth on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm not very good at poetry, you know, but I found a poem just recently. You know, it's taken me about, I'm not going to say my age, after about 80 odd years to learn to read books. I've always read my Bible, don't get me wrong, but to read a normal book, it's taken me a long time. And now I enjoy it. I can go to bed and I can read and take in what the author has to say, whether it be about the Bible. In the meantime, I'm reading Craig's book on John, and it's very good. I found this point, and I thought it'd be nice to read it. It's called So Many Roads. And it says, so many long roads lie before us. Their signs may leave us confused. Most are worn smooth with traveller's feet. Just one seems less often used. A busy one marked world we can take to land whose revered God is gold, where for riches and train and great honours even precious souls are sold. Many dangerous roads look inviting. They allure us with bright lights and fun, and it seems there is always someone near to urge us to take everyone. But we can take the less used roads, one called truth, and from all treacherous snares be free by simply obeying that most loving voice that beckons us, come unto me. He tells me there's help for the rough spots, and what the end of the road will be. It leads us to God's heavenly home, stretching into eternity. And could I just say before we pray, may you take Christ this evening as your Saviour, that you have not really done trouble for you. Our Father, this evening we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it, that God could say that Jesus was the only way to get to heaven. In this evening, our Father, we pray for our gathering. We pray for each heart that is bowed in thy presence. Thou knowest the condition of each one of us. Thou knowest who's saved and who's not saved. And we just ask that even at this time, thy Spirit may work within them, convicting them and convincing them of sin and judgment to come. Because it's a fearful thing to enter into the hands of God. And once again, our Father, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for thy Son. We thank you for his completed work on Calvary. And we just ask now that they will part us with thy blessing. Take us to your homes in safety. And once again, we thank you for thy well-beloved Son, in the Saviour's wonderful name. Amen.